And so glory to God. As you know, we're going through the book of John, which is a very exciting book. And we're in the spot where he has entered into Jerusalem, and we're in starting his Passion Week here in the book of John. And so I think some of the greatest teachings that Jesus gave in all of his teachings are these teachings that he laid out just before the cross. Right, all these things that he said and he taught during this next couple chapters here of his great compassion, his moving of the Spirit, and the truth that he's about ready to lay out for the believers, for his disciples and those folks that are around him. And we were in chapter 12 last week, and we got up to 32, but we're going to back up just a little bit, all right, and to get a running start. And so, to get the picture, the people therefore, verse 29, stood by and heard it, and said that it thundered, and others said an angel spoke to him. So what we're having here, Jesus said, if any man serve me, follow me, where I am, there he'll be. And he said, honor me as you had honored me from the beginning. And then there was a voice that came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Praise God. God the Father talking to God the Son, saying, I glorified your name in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? And the Word was God. And he glorified it then. When God said, let there be, and there was, and then God said, it is good, that good was Jesus Christ. Amen. He glorified it then. He's glorifying it now. And he said, not only did I glorify it back then, but there's coming another glory. And it will be the glory of the resurrected Lord. Amen. Very excited to think of that. And so as he's saying, and then people heard it. They heard it, and that some said it thundered, and others said that an angel spoke to him. We talked about this briefly, not this scripture, but in men's group last night, that when people hear things about God, and even the Bible folks, us, when we hear things, we think we hear something. We may not be hearing it what we think we hear. We look through a glass darkly, dimly, right? So we're talking about end times and stuff like that, but the truth is, we don't know exactly how it's going to lay out. We really don't know. We know it's coming, and we're seeing some things in the glass, right? And the closer you get to it, the more clear it appears. But how many times have we been wrong? Right? From this pulpit, I have said things that were going to happen that did not happen. Amen? Because I was looking at things, but I really wasn't looking to... I was jumping to conclusions, right? I was hearing something, seeing something that I thought I saw from the Lord, but it may have been just thunder, right? It was just a rumbling. It may have been an angel speaking. These people, they heard something that was supernatural. Some said it was just a thunder. All right. Other folks said that it was an angel speaking to him. But we know through the scripture that there were words that said, all right, this is my son. You are my, I have glorified you and I will glorify you again. I have heard a lot of thundering. I never heard a thunder sound like a word. Right. Anybody here been in a thunderstorm? I mean, a good one. A lot of lightning, a lot of cracking, rumbling in the sky. Well, I never heard words come out of it. Really didn't. But these folks heard words. Some said it was a thunder. Some said it was an angel speaking to him. And Jesus answered them, answered in verse 30, and answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. All right, this is where we left off last week. Now, when you look at what Jesus was saying, he said the prince of this world will be cast. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The prince of this world is going to be cast out. What Jesus said, now we know for a fact that Lucifer right now still has access to the throne of God. He still accuses the brother, right? The brother, and that's what he does. So he walks around, roams around the earth, and he's looking and says, well, I know Kevin, I know Joshua. They're your children, Jesus. They belong to you. You should have seen what they did. You know, I saw Curtis stand up in his house, and he was red-faced, red-eared, and his blood veins were sticking out of his neck. He was not in a good spot. And Jesus says, I know. right? But still, Lucifer's there to accuse the brethren of coming short of the glory of God. We know that there is coming a day that he will be cast out from heaven, and he will never be allowed back into the throne room again. All right, it will be on the last day at the last trumpet. Jesus is going to come down and he's going to bind up Lucifer for 1,000 years. He's not ever allowed to come back into the throne room again. Right now, he's able to come and go. We know that from the book of Job, right? Two times it says that the sons of God were gathered. Lucifer came up, Satan came up, and then God and him had a conversation. Amen. He's given a boot. Now, this here's the picture of the boot that's going to come. Because Jesus said right here that judgment of this world and the prince of this world shall be cast out. The prince of this world is Lou. It's Lou. Hey, Lou. It's Satan. It is Lucifer, the prince of this world. Now, the king of the world is God. Amen. That is the king. He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. But because of the sin of Adam, how he gave over, didn't give over, he sinned. And when he sinned, death entered into the creation. Death wasn't in the creation. And Lucifer is the father of death, right? He's the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning, right? And so he is the author of sin. He is a murderer, right? And that's who he is. That's what he does. And he has... There are principalities in the heavenly realms. We're told in Ephesians that we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. I think that's Ephesians, where he tells us that our battle is not of flesh and blood, but we fight against things we cannot see, and we fight those battles by prayer through Jesus Christ, right? We fight hate by love, right? It's the craziest thing. And so... Jesus adding here or saying this, now the judgment of the world, now this is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. 32 is a pivoting teaching of Jesus Christ. All right. Remember in John chapter 3 when he told Nick at night, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up. Again, he said that he is going, where is that? That's in Exodus. Can't recall.
Moses lifted up the serpent.
Yeah. Well, we know the scenario, right?
Yeah.
The people had sinned against God. All right. And God sent in vipers. They were complaining. All right. They were groaning, whining against the Lord. And God said, all right, guys, you know what? I'm going to send snakes in. And those snakes were biting people. Folks were dying. They came to Moses and they said, Mo, what can we do, right? And Moses, he went to prayer and God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, all right? And when people look at that bronze serpent on the pole, then they will be healed from the bite.
Numbers
21. I was thinking 20, but it was 21. Yep. And so I was thinking Exodus is in Numbers. So praise God for that. And so in that teaching, that was a picture of the Savior. Now, Jesus is not a bronze serpent. Don't get me wrong here. Moses was making something because God told him to make something a certain way. All right? What was bothering the people were serpents biting them, killing them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make this and put it on a pole. And if people look at that with faith and believe, then they can be healed. All right? Jesus told Nick at night that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Must be lifted up. All right? And here he's saying it again. He says, and I, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The healing of the serpent on the pole, when people came to that with faith, they were healed.
That's right.
And that seeing your cousin that was bit by a snake, your mom who was bit by a snake that was dying, and they came and they looked at that and they got healed, it built faith, right? And Jesus said, I'm going to be high and lifted up. And if any man will look at me, have faith in me, then guess what? I can heal you. I will draw all men unto me, says Jesus. Not to me. Jesus said that. And Jesus had to go to the cross that these scriptures, that these pictures might be made whole.
He became sin for us.
Yeah, he became, thank you. He became the serpent on the pole. He became sin on the pole.
Yep.
Right? That we might know the Savior, that we might know a life without sin, that we might know forgiveness. I think this is one of the most powerful things that Jesus said. And something that's needed in this, our time, is, geez, where is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, around the 20 somewhere. I preached Christ and Him crucified. I will know nothing else. I'm going to preach Jesus and Him. I'm going to preach Jesus high and lifted up. I'm going to preach Him crucified. I'm going to preach Him paying for the sin of the world. That is my only job. That's what Paul said to the church of Corinth. And if you're going to glory in anything, glory in that. Because that's where the healing is. That's where the power is. Don't get me wrong. God allowed certain things, certain doctors, things like that to help you.
Yeah.
Right? He did. So I'm not going to say that doctors are bad. All right? I'm not going to go there. But what I will say, if you want real healing, I mean healing that is eternal healing, don't go to the pharmacist. Go to Jesus. Right? If you really want to be made whole, if you want to get your heart and your life squared away, then you need to look at Jesus, Him high and lifted up. When He does that, He'll draw you to Him. I have never found peace and love and joy and patience. I say patience. I know I just lost my patience the other day. But anyhow, I didn't hurt the boy, right? So yeah, there was patience there. There was long suffering. It didn't come to bloodshed, right? Several years ago, it may have worked out a little bit differently than what it there. But because God... And we lift up Jesus. We look at Him high and lifted up. And He changes you. How many were really changed when you saw Jesus high and lifted up?
Yeah.
I mean a real change. Not these folks who just say that they want Jesus as their Savior. But when they lift Him up, then real healing comes. Real faith comes when you have Him high and lifted up. Go ahead. Oh, I thought you were saying something. Now, he says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. And we know he died the death on the crucifixion, on the cross. And people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? All right, so the people knew the prophecies that the Godhead cannot die. They knew from the writings of Moses, the writings of Daniel, that the Christ cannot die. Now, they were right. Although Jesus did die, He didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. Right? They forgot Psalm 22.
Or Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53, yeah. Those great scriptures that say that the Christ must suffer. And by His stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53, right? And so, through Jesus' suffering, through Jesus' death on the cross, we've been made whole. And Jesus said, if He be high and lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Himself. Praise God for that. People knew just, folks who know just a little bit of Scripture can really hurt their understanding about God. You know, I have these conversations with my grandson, Xander, almost every time I see him. And he's listening to folks on YouTube, but doesn't read his Bible for himself. Right? So, I heard this guy, and he said this, and he said that. And I said, have you read your Bible? Did you go and open up your Bible and look into it? Well, no. I wanted to listen to this guy. Stop listening to those people. You want to know what truth is? You'll find it. It's right here. It's in the Word of God. It's not hard to figure out. And nowadays we have Google. right? And so if you're looking up a certain subject, you can, if you don't know your Bible good, you can just Google the start of it, and it'll give you a list. And you can go open up your Bible and dig it out there. Blue Letter Bible is a great another search engine. But anyhow, and they said that they knew, they heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. Christ does, the Messiah abides forever. Amen. But he had to suffer and die. But he does abide forever. Right? And so they couldn't understand the two. Right? They couldn't bring the two together, that Christ had to die, but he was going to live forever. And so Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Wow. Matthew chapter 5 talks about you're a city built on a hill. You're a light that should not be covered up. Don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. We are the light. John chapter 1, he is the light that came into every man. Jesus is the light. Jesus says here, while you have the light, while I'm still on the earth, while you still have me, follow me. Right? Follow me. Walk in the light while you have the light. Because there's going to come a time that the light, the person of Jesus Christ, is going to leave. And if you don't have faith in the person of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit won't come to you. You must be born again for the Spirit of God to indwell your heart, your mind, to expose you to truth. And guess what truth is? It's light. Man, what will stop you from being consumed by the darkness of this world? Light. Truth. The truth of God's word. And so these things he spake, and spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, the Lord who hath believed our Lord, who hath believed our report, and who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, I know people in my personal life that no matter how much I have talked to them, they will not hear the truth. You can read the scripture to them. They will not hear it. They see your lips moving. They understand the volume, but they don't hear it. And it says that God hardened their heart that they cannot hear. Yeah, it's like Pharaoh, right? Steve stopped by the office and we were talking about some stuff. He says, like Pharaoh. You said it's like Pharaoh, right? We weren't talking about this scripture. We were talking about something else. But it is like Pharaoh. Five times God was pleading with Pharaoh. Was pleading with him five times in a row. And he hardened it. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God pleaded with him again. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God, there is a time where the mercy of God says, I have spoke to you and offered you salvation, offered you love and comfort, and asked you to be mine, spoke to your heart, and you closed the door time after time after time. And then there comes a time where God says, I'm not going to talk to you no more. You become an enemy of God. Amen. Yep. You know, you have hardened your heart to the truth so much that you've become callous. And you cannot be saved. That's what the scripture says. That they God hardened their heart that they could not be saved. That he wanted to heal them, but because of the hardness of their heart, he could not heal them. And folks think that that's a hard saying. It is a hard saying. That's why it's very dangerous when you tell somebody about Christ and they harden their heart to it. Because I don't know where that line is in a person's life. They hear it, they hear it, they hear it, they hear it. They shut it down, they shut it down, they shut it down. And then there's coming a time where God will say, I am not going to even talk to you about that no more.
I don't know where that line is. I really don't. But I do know from this scripture right here that God says there comes a time, right, that I'm going to quit dealing with you. You want your sin? You don't want the manna that comes from heaven, right? You don't want my provision for your life. You think you got to have what you want. You want me? You keep crying for me? You want the flesh pots of Egypt, the things, how good they used to be? All right, that's what you want? I'll give it to you. The picture of that's where the Israelites cried for meat and God sent them quail and they gorged themselves on that. They were eating it raw with the feathers still on it.
Violating scripture.
Right? Amen. Violating scripture. And God said, listen, I got manna for you. I got everything. I don't know what manna was. In fact, I think that's what manna means is what is it? Right? So they were getting this bread from heaven. And they were saying, what is it? I don't know. But whatever it was exactly what the human body needed for existence. They didn't lose weight. They're perfectly healthy, right? So whatever they were eating was exactly the nourishment that they needed. When God feeds you with His Word, when God feeds you, my flesh is indeed meat, and my blood is indeed drink, and you've got to eat me, you've got to drink me, or you have no part of me. There, I tell you what, when you reject that, like the people did, we just finished that in John after the feeding of the 5,000. Yep. And they rejected him as the bread, they rejected him as the body of goodness, and they said, this is a hard thing, we cannot understand it, we don't want it, and they walked away. That was the end for them. They walked away. It scares me to hear somebody confess Jesus Christ and then walk away. They might be able to come back. All right, I know from Hebrews it says that if you tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you turn away from it, there remains no sacrifice for sin. But I don't know where that line is in a person's life. I know I've been angry with God from time to time over certain things, right? And I didn't snuggle up next to God. I said, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to talk to you. But I never turned away from my belief and my seeking for God. I was just mad. I was like a spoiled kid. Anybody have kids that get mad at you? I hate you, Daddy, blah, blah, blah. Right? I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before. But it happens, right? Yeah, all of us are parents. Right? You ever have that happen to you? You know? We do that to God from time to time. That doesn't mean that my parents didn't love me and I didn't love my kids. Right? But there would come a time that if they chose not to reach out, not that I wouldn't love them, not that God doesn't love those. I believe God loved Pharaoh. Yeah. Right? He did. But Pharaoh hardened his heart to the point where he could not hear the voice of God anymore. He couldn't see. And Jesus had warned them, you saw the miracles? Look at the miracles Pharaoh saw. Right? Water into blood. The flies. The lice. The darkness. Right? The frogs. You know? All of those miracles that God was doing right before his eyes. And he was still hardening his heart to the whole thing. Jesus said, yeah. Believe, if you can't believe in me, at least believe in the miracles that I did. And these folks, they saw the miracles. It says so right here in 37. Sorry. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And then it says, Isaiah said these things, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 40 says, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. I like that. It doesn't say saved. It says converted. There's a difference. We have cheapened up the conversion part of the Word of God and called it saved. Now, Jesus is the Savior,
But when you accept the Savior, you're also surrendering to a conversion. You can profess with your mouth, and if there is no conversion, I dare say that your salvation is very shallow. Might not even be there. Those who profess with their mouth and don't do anything with it, I don't know. Again, I'm not God. I can't say. But I do know that there's a conversion that needs to happen. And then he says, be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Ooh! Boy, doesn't that punch you in the gut? Loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. A lot of folks, now look at this, a lot of folks believed on him. Chief rulers and many believed on him in 42. But because of the ruling class, the Pharisees, they didn't confess him. So you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, right? Romans 10:9, right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So I know people who believe in their heart and really don't confess with their mouth. Or they may confess with their mouth and not believe in their heart. And when you don't have those, the combination, I don't know. I was trying to think of a recipe. Oil and flour and eggs. If you miss one part of it, it isn't a cake anymore. I wish my wife was here because she makes a lot of cakes, a lot of things. But in baking, it's very, very important that if you miss one part of a cupcake recipe and you make it and it all looks good, it'll taste like a brick. Right? It just will not be good. Amen? Right? And so, anyhow, these things. And they were afraid that they'd be put out of the synagogue. They would lose their pew if they confessed Jesus Christ. They would lose their place in the church, in the synagogue, if they confessed Jesus Christ. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I would rather be hated by every single human that walks on this earth and loved by God, then hated by God and loved by every single person that walks on this earth. You know? That's why we preach the way we do. That's the way we preach of Jesus and Him raised up. A lot of folks can't take this kind of teaching, right? Steve said it the other day. We teach on a very deep level here, and a lot of young believers can't stomach what we teach here, because they don't want to know the deeper things of God. They're happy with John 3:16. They don't need to know John 3:17, 18, 19, 20, 21, you know, because God so loved the world. But those who love darkness rather than light have no part of God, right? And so
there should come a time when they should want meat.
Yeah, it should.
Everybody starts out.
Amen. Everybody starts out, yeah. When I first came to understand that God loves even me, you know, there was a great joy, you know, just basking in that God would even consider me. But after a while, I wanted to consider Him. I wanted to know more about Him. He already knows everything about me. I mean, I'm no new book. But when I really started wanting, longing after Him, that's when I started to grow. That's when things started really to change. See, the seed was planted in me at the unctioning of the Spirit of God. The Father moved over us, and the seed was planted, and we bask for a little while on the milk of the Word of God. But then there comes a time that you need to do away with milk and get into the solid food. Unfortunately, most American Christians are still sopping milk and cornbread. They're buttermilk cornbread Christians. All right, I don't know if y'all ain't from the South, you may not understand that, but that's what they used to feed little toddlers when they couldn't quite eat meat. Okay, so they give you buttermilk and cornbread. All right, so it doesn't sound good, but it really is. It's very tasty. And so, but it met all of the needs of your body, but it really didn't help you to grow any. You need meat. You need your full set of chompers and digging into to some good old ribeyes, right? Cooked medium rare. Well done. My brother says, I don't like them medium rare. But anyhow, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. All right, that's a little tongue twister. Jesus said, he that believes on me really isn't believing on the person you're seeing. You're believing on the one who sent me. Right? You're believing on the Father. When you see me, you've seen the Father. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're believing in God the Creator. Right? That's what that's basically what he said that. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that receiveth me receiveth not my words, rejecteth, I said that wrong. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the, what? Last day. We will be judged by this word right here. Right? By the word of God. God's going to open it. And when I stand before God, he's going to say, Curtis, step up. You're the next one. Right? You're the next one. I'm going to judge you. And by the grace of God, he's going to have to look through his own blood to see me. Amen? I'm glad I'm not going to be judged by my righteousness. I'm going to be judged by his righteousness. I'm going to be judged by his word. Amen? I'm not going to stand before God and say, well, I was a good dad, I was a good husband, I was a good worker, I was a good. There's nothing good in me. So judge me by the word of God. So in being judged by the word of God, I need to apply the word of God in my life in such a way that a lost and dying world sees it. That so when I stand before God, he doesn't judge me by my unrighteousness, he judges me by his righteous word. Amen? Praise God for that.
But you still have to give an account of your life.
Amen. Yes, you do.
The books are open. And those are books of your life.
Yeah.
And then the book is open.
Yeah. And anyone who's not written in the book is cast out.
That's right.
Right? So, yeah. Now, this is just my imagination. But I believe everything we see, act, and do is recorded up here in this gray matter we call a brain. I don't think we ever forget anything. I may not be able to recall it, but if I read it, if I said it, if I did it, it's still there somewhere.
It's in a cell.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It's going to be in the books.
It's in the books.
Sure, whether
yeah.
it's in your mind or not.
Well, our DNA is a book, right? So it's in those cells. It's in that thing. And God's going to unroll that DNA. He's going to unroll that book, that scroll. Amen. And he's going to look at it and say, here. And that list of sin is going to stretch around this universe probably 17 times. And it's all going to be under the blood. It's going to be under the blood. Why? Because I got his promise. And as best I can, I'm going to walk under the blood. I'm going to keep my life as close to this word of God that when he opens those books, and the other book is open, my name's written in the other book, not just my works that I did here on this line. Are there things I'll answer for? Yeah, there will. And you know what I'll have to give? As I do that, I'm going to say, under the blood. Under the blood. Under the blood. Amen? There are 1,000 things that I could be accused of. And it's under the blood. Amen? There's some neat things that he said here about he that seeth Jesus seeth the God that sent me. All right, now I changed the word a little bit there. And verse 45. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. A lot of folks say that Jesus didn't say anywhere that if you saw him, you saw the Father. Well, right here you have. Later, in when he talks to Philip, when the Gentiles, the Greeks come to see him, he tells Philip, hey, Phil, have you been with me so long that you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Right? These things are life-changing if you apply them. Then he said, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You can go back to John chapter 3 again and dig that out. In fact, I think I will right here because I love you so much. And when it doesn't open up perfect, I got to set down the book. And so, and here he said the whole thing right here. They didn't come to judge the world. Verse 17 of John chapter 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Woohoo! Praise God! Is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That's the very same thing that Jesus said over in chapter 12. All right? Light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. What do you really want? Do you want to live in darkness? Jesus said again in chapter 12, verse 46, I have come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. There's a whole nother chapter here in chapter 15 of John that's going to talk about abiding. It doesn't say that we don't trip and stumble and caught in some things, but abiding in it. Inside of me, when I sin, it hurts me. When I do something that I know is against God's word, it affects me. I can't abide in the darkness. I just can't. I can't live in hatred or drunkenness or slothfulness. I can't do that. Why? The light is in me. Are there times that I might be any of those things? Amen. But I can't stay there. They're just, the truth guides me out of it. If you abide in hatred, if you abide in division, if you abide in the darkness and the evil of this world, I dare say you do not have the light. Yeah,
it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You just step, you know, you can stumble and fall, but you can't abide there.
Right, amen. No. There are snares, there are trips, things that trip us up here on this planet. We have an enemy constantly throwing fiery darts at us. Amen? And every once in a while, one or two get through.
And this is playground.
Right, in the mind.
This is kitchen.
Amen. What I watch, what I read, what I see, what I believe.
Yep.
Be not deceived. That whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. God is not mocked. All right, I said that a little backwards. It says, God is not mocked. Whatever so a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you reap, sow to darkness, darkness you will receive. If you sow to the light, then light you will receive. All right, if you believe that the answer is in pharmakia, in drugs or alcohol or lust of the flesh, the pride of life, if that's where your happy spot is, then you are living in darkness. Oh, Jesus said this again. If the light that a man perceives is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? If you're living in sin so long that it appears to be light, then how deep is that sin within a person? Where you can look at something, we'll just go with stealing, all right? Well, it's just a small thing. I didn't steal much. No, you stole. But if you can say it's okay to steal, then you're saying that the darkness of coveting something enough to take it from somebody else is right, is light in your eyes, then you are way lost. You're way lost. And that's just stealing. All right? There, we could go through a list of these things, right? And I'm not above any of those things. But when I do something like that, immediately it pricks my heart. I think I talked about this a couple Sundays ago. I went to Home Depot and I picked up a couple of muffler clamps, small ones, quarter-inch muffler clamps. I had them in my hand. That's all I had in my hand. I was going to buy some other stuff. They didn't have it. I had them in my hand. I rolled them and like dice my fingers. And I walked right out, walked right to my truck, sat down, and I looked at my hand. Dude, I got $1.50 worth of muffler clamps here. It's only a couple pennies. I could have drove off. Nobody knew about it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Amen? God saw me with it, and that was a test. You know, that was a test. So I took it back and I brought it to the cashier lady and said, I walked out with this. She looked like I had three eyes. She said, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? It doesn't matter. I don't even want to charge you for it. And I said, no, ma'am, you're going to, you don't understand. Amen. I said, I've got to stand before God someday and I don't want to be called by God on that last day. Well, you know, Curtis, you did good except for $1.50. You know, that you stole after I told you to go turn it back in. Right? So the little things. In the Song of Solomon, there's a line in there that says the small foxes is what destroys the vine. It's the little foxes. It's the little things. I mean, you won't find me doing Grand Theft Auto, right? You won't find me out in a bar drinking honky-tonk and all that kind. You won't find that. But there's sin in my life. There's darkness in me, and if I don't confess that before the Lord and get it out of me, I'm going to be judged hard on those things, especially as a teacher. I'm going to be held to a different account than the rest of the body of Christ, because I should have known better, right? I should have known better. I had the truth of God's word, and I didn't do it. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. When you try to tell the truth of God's word to somebody and they say, I hate it, I don't want to hear it, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. They're rejecting his word, his truth, his love, his abiding power. Folks who refuse to come to church, right? They don't want to come, they don't want to hear it. They say, well, I heard the word of God when I was 4 years old, I don't need to hear it no more. Those folks don't want anything to do with God. How... Thank you, Lord, for this. They think they're going to die and go to heaven, right? But they didn't want to be around the church body. Why would God make you go to somewhere that you didn't want to be? Right?
That's right.
You know? The only folks that are going to heaven are Christian.
Makes no sense.
You know, are the regenerated by God.
It's their choice.
Yeah, it is their choice.
Our free will.
Amen.
I'm not saying I agree.
Right.
But if you say, I don't want to go to church, that's up to you.
Yeah. That's right.
It's your choice.
It's your choice.
You know?
But don't call yourself a Christian. Right? Because it tells us to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? It tells you to go to church. Why do we need to go to church? Because I need Kevin. I need Joshua. I need Steve. I need Justin. I need Bonnie and Odette. I pointed the wrong person. Bonnie and Odette and Skip. Actually, I'd love to see on a Wednesday night the whole church come to church. What would it be like if everybody wanted to be a part of the body of Christ? You know? I don't know. Yeah, I do know.
I think there should be some draw to come.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I think initially, you know, people who would call themselves saved should be definitely, I'm not...
Yeah.
Cutting out church, but should be reading their Bible.
Amen. Yeah.
And making some attempt to apply it to their life.
Yeah.
You know, and usually that will lead into wanting to fellowship with other believers.
Amen.
But if someone says they're a Christian and they do not read their Bible and are not applying it to their life,
right? They're not praying.
That's a little bit of a red flag, because Jesus says earlier that my sheep
hear my voice. Yeah.
And they follow me. So how can you follow God and follow Jesus if you don't read his word?
Amen.
You got it memorized. You know what I mean? Like, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convict anybody.
Uh-uh.
If you don't spend time reading it, maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's, I don't know, every few days. But if there's not that draw to read his word, that might be a problem.
Yeah. It might. I think that is a problem. That is a problem. If you don't want to pray. Well, we're talking about these pillars right here.
Yep.
If you don't want to pray, if you don't deserve holiness, fellowship, and unity, and we ain't even really started on the whole pillar, because there's a lot of pillars in the house of God, you know, if you're really born again, if you're really saved, you ought to have a prayer life. You ought to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You ought to have a desire to read God's word. I want to read God's word more than I want to read anything on Facebook. Anything. On the internet.
Or the other side.
Or the other side.
Or you don't.
Or I don't. Amen. If you don't, I would dare say go back to the first pillar. Are you saved? Right? Because if you don't have that want, amen. Go back to the beginning. Are you born again? So if you know somebody calls themselves a Christian, ain't reading their Bible, ain't spending time in prayer, doesn't desire to come to fellowship, I would dare say, those are three strikes, you're out. I would dare say, you ain't born again. You know? And but anyhow, he that receives me and rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. Tells us a lot about our tongue. If I say anything, let it be the oracles of God. Amen. If we say anything, let's talk God. Let's talk Jesus. I mean, it's not bad to know the hockey score, the baseball score, the football score, the weather. Amen. Not bad to know that kind of stuff. But how about the oracles of God? I think of how many folks I speak to and talk about things that really don't matter. My friend might be dying and going to hell tomorrow. And all the time that I had to speak with him this week, I didn't speak with him at all about godly things. Did we talk about, I don't know, name your poison, you know?
I just wanted to clarify. So that was back just so we're
at, you're in John chapter 10.
On the same page, but that's in John. And Jesus, 24, was talking to the Jews.
Yeah.
So if you fast forward just to 26, it's only two. It says, but ye, and he's referring to these Jews, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep.
Amen.
As I said unto you, 27, now you can read the whole thing, but 27, mm-hmm. My sheep
hear my voice.
Now this is Jesus talking, so if it's red, that's Jesus.
Yep.
I just highlighted 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
He's in John chapter 10, verse 27.
Yep, 6 and 7. You could keep going. It talks about giving eternal life and all that. But, I mean, that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Him talking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Two things. You hear the word of God, and you understand that God's speaking to you. You don't have to understand where he's sending you. All you got to do is understand, follow him.
And recognize his
voice. And, well, if you belong to him, you recognize his voice.
Calls you by name.
And he calls you by name. And he leads you in and out to pasture. Amen. Again, and next week we'll look into the washing of the feet of the disciples. And in this, even the one who was going to betray him, he still washed his feet. You know, it's these teachings on Mount Olivet, because that's where they're going next week, is the Last Supper and Mount Olivet. And these teachings are astronomical. what he's going to be laying out over the next couple of days as we go through this before the cross.
I just had one other thing. I'm not saying reading that any type of way. I find that myself, I get wrapped up in what I would say life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that includes.
Amen.
It's a long list of things. Get up, got to get ready for work and do all these things. And you could go, I don't know, maybe a couple of days like, man, I haven't spent even 1 minute. Because I'm doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for myself, have to take a look at it and say, you know what? I'm getting up early. Even though I'm tired, I'm going to get up. And if it's 15 or 20 minutes or an hour, praise God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of, oh, I'll sleep another half hour. I'll get up and rush and run to work. And, oh, yeah, I'll pray when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, God, he gave his best.
Yeah.
I don't
Amen.
Always give my best. He did.
You know. Oh, praise
so it's
God.
Just for me, you know, conviction for me to say when he's saying, Joshua,
I do
put some of that stuff aside for a few minutes.
He's
just,
always
just
there.
Tennessee,
yeah,
you know?
Amen. Amen. And so, what's more important? Who wants to close in prayer? We could keep talking, but we need to rescue my wife from the kids' room.
Oh.
Will you?
More Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, that's what I need. That's what we all need. More Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the lessons and the things that Jesus taught, how he revealed himself to us, Lord, I pray, Father, that it would take hold of our lives. I pray that Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up, and we would be drawn unto him, and that we would live in the center of his will, Lord. If Christ is not lifted up, we're desperate, we're miserable, and we're desolate, Lord.
Mm, yes,
and I just pray, Lord, fill us with Jesus. And may he be, Lord, the water of our life, the light of our life, the joy of our life, the center of our life, Lord. And may we show that to the world around us. May Christ be lifted up. All men will be drawn unto him. And how much we love our family members that are far from you, Lord.
Yes.
But help us to lift up Jesus Christ with our lives, Lord. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.